Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. We are already in weekend 45. Thank you for tuning in. And we are way into hunting season. I'm by far a hunting expert. I do have a hunting dog. Most people, I mentioned my dog Attila. He's a bird dog. And I'm happy to have a guest today with me here, Mike Summers. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Dirk. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, Mike Summers works with JCI Land Company, and he's also known in the area as a hunting expert. I know him for quite a while already, and I asked him to join us to speak a little bit about, I don't know, I'm not the expert, that's why, like maybe food plots, how to prepare, what to know. Maybe everybody believes he's an expert hunter, and now when they listen, they can still find out some tips and tricks here left and right. And before we talk about hunting, rifle season just opened. It was bow season before that, and I know we have small game and we have birds and now we have waterfowl also, but I think we talk a lot of deer today maybe. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike. You are from Lakes Country?
Yes, I grew up here and went to high school here in Detroit Lakes, so I'm familiar here, and I've hunted, well, I started deer hunting in 1983, so I've been hunting 34 years now around this area, and I've hunted a lot of Becker County and Ottertail County, so I'm very familiar with different areas of the two counties. I've hunted also, I mean, I've been to Africa and Alaska and all sorts, Canada, Montana, Nebraska, so I've been fortunate and blessed to hunt in many different areas, but I still come back to deer hunting. You know, Becker County, Ottertail is still definitely my home ground. That's what I like to do, is hunt deer. So
you are born in the Detroit Lakes area, and you chose to stay. You live in Virgis, I believe?
Yes, I live in Virgis there. I've been there for about 13 years now, and it's just a great little community, and it's surrounded by deer and deer hunting there, so that's where I like to be.
And I think your wife supports you. I heard you have one of the largest mound collections in the area, maybe?
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate, my wife and I and children. We've got to hunt quite a few places, like I say, and we have, you know, over 30-some mounts in our house, from moose and elk and bear and caribou and mountain lion, and so we've been, yeah, like I say, been very, very fortunate and had a lot of good experience outdoors.
So hunting is not only a passion, it's a lifestyle, it's your life.
It's our life. It's I like to enjoy hunting. I enjoy being outside. My wife likes to be outside with us, and maybe doesn't necessarily always hunt, but she comes and still sits with us. All my children enjoy the outdoors and hunting as well, so.
That's fascinating. I kind of just grew into this. I have one shotgun, actually I have two. I won one this year at the Pheasants Forever fundraiser. Yeah. But I have an over-under, and I actually just do it for my dog. Yep. So he kind of takes me hunting. And I'm a good weather hunter too, so I'm actually the opposite of all of you probably. But you also, you kind of try to study the deer, and I think you raise deer?
Yes, I've raised deer for about 20-some years now, which is just, I enjoy deer hunting so much. You know, like I say, I've hunted everything, but I still come back to deer hunting. It's probably my favorite thing to hunt. It's probably the most challenging. It's a beautiful creature. So when I bought my property in Virgis there, we have about 75 head of deer on there, and I get to enjoy them all the time. I get to study them all the time. I know what their behaviors. I know when it's windy, where they're going to go bed. I know when it's nice, what they're doing, and I know when they come into rut. So it's definitely very advantageous to have the deer there and learn a lot about them.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You have 75 deer?
Yes, yep.
How many acres?
We have 50 acres.
And they don't jump the fence? There's a high fence?
Correct. There's a high fence, so we keep them contained. So
interesting. That's a lot of deer and a lot of knowledge. You also said you were international, so you have been to Africa?
Correct. I've been to Africa, and yes, so that was an enjoyable trip. I've only been there once, but
different?
Different. It was great. Beautiful day every day to hunt. Not like here, you know, the seasons change. There when we were hunting, every day, I was there for 10 days, and every day it was blue sky, beautiful day to hunt. So.
Wow. And Alaska?
Been to Alaska, caribou hunting and moose hunting.
Oh, okay.
Definitely. My wife went with me, and we did some fishing as well, and we were up there for 2 weeks, and just absolutely enjoyable. Yeah.
Wow. And so when you prepare for hunting in Becker County, Ottawa County, I mean, we have, do you spend all year kind of to, you have a property, let's say, what do you do? I mean, I know keywords like food plots, trail cameras. I don't know. So how do you do that?
Well, deer hunting definitely is a year-round activity. You know, we're in the spring, we're getting the food plots ready. In the fall, and all summer long, we have cameras out scouting for us, which is probably, I think, one of the most valuable tools that we have nowadays, to get the cameras out, because then it's out there 24/7, and you know what is on the property, what time animals are coming through on the property. And then also in the winter months, the animals lose their antlers, so we're out there looking for sheds, and so we know what made it through the season, so we know what to prepare for the next season.
Okay. But the hunting, like, so right before, let's say, when we go into November, is there a lot to do? I mean, or like, is it all like a game? Is it a chance? Like, how can I prepare? Let's say I own 40 acres. How can I increase my chances? So what do I do step by step?
Well, definitely, if you have 40 acres, you know, that's a great chunk to hunt. If you have a food source on there or a bedding area on there, it kind of depends on what your neighbors do as well. I always encourage people, if they have 40 acres, if you can get some sort of food on there, that way you know the deer, they're going to eat. You know they're going to that to eat. Otherwise, if you have a nice bedding area, if the neighbors have fields, that's also great. You know they're coming into your property to bed. And those cameras will tell you, you know, what the deer are doing at those times. I'm always asked when the best time is to be out there hunting, because I'm a deer farmer, and the deer actually cycle about the same time as the wild deer, and it's usually about November 6th is the prime time for the rut. So I always encourage people to be out there the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th is probably the five prime days, I think, to be out there deer hunting. So
okay, and then that is already rifle. People bow hunt prior?
Yep, you can bow hunt. Bow hunting started already middle of September, goes till the December 31st. Rifle season starts now this Saturday on November 4th, and depends on where you're at. It goes for about a week here. So the rut is at prime time for the rifle season. So,
and in Europe, I know, we call it Treibjagd. We kind of try to push the deer.
Okay.
I think, you know, like there's dogs or people walking and trying to scare them up, and then there's only a few hunters up front, or I'm no hunter, obviously. My sister actually is a hunter in Europe. But so do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Kind of they scare them and push them.
There's a lot of people that do deer drives here as well.
Deer drive.
You know, we don't use dogs. You know, just people walk through and try to push the deer out to the other end. The only bad part about that, usually when you do a deer drive, then that area is shot. I mean, the deer are gone. If you get them, great, but then they're out of that property for the rest of the, you know, for a while. I'm not a fan of, you know, a deer drive is a lot of fun. You get a lot of action. I like to sit. I like to sneak into a property, sit there undisturbed, sneak back out, you know. Don't let the deer know that I was there. Whereas if you walk it through with 10 guys, you're letting the deer know that you're there and you've been there and the deer are gone.
Oh, they're gone. Okay, yeah. Okay. So there's different types of hunts. Now I learned the drive. So you said sneak in, sneak out. So do you hunt elevated in the tree or do you hunt from the ground?
We do a little bit of both. I always prefer the elevation because if you're up higher, then your scent, your other line of sight a little better. It definitely, I think, gives you the advantage. We do also have some ground blinds that are fully enclosed that are on the ground or maybe on a little knoll somewhere where it covers an area where you can see. Definitely if I'm bow hunting, I like to be elevated. If I'm rifle hunting, well, you can reach out a little further. It doesn't really matter if you're on the ground or not. So.
Okay. What is an insight that you learned maybe just recently, or is there any changes? How you said you hunt since 83. What is that, 35 years already, pretty much,
yep,
right?
Yep.
So all your life, I guess.
Yep.
And have you changed your hunting style? Has there been new knowledge? Tell me a little bit about that.
I think the biggest thing for deer hunting is your smell. You need to, and my youngest one, he's 12. He's been bow hunting with me this year. We've had so many close encounters with deer, and we were sitting on the grounds quite a few times where we weren't just on the blind ground level, and we were having deer come within 10 yards of us, and I stressed to him that we shower before we go out in the woods. We wash our clothes and no scent soap before we go out in the woods. We bag them. We don't change our clothes until we actually get out to the woods. Then we take them out of the bag, change when we're in the woods. So smell, I believe, is the number one thing for deer hunting. You want to stay scent-free as you can.
Okay, so it's a threat to them.
Yep.
So scent, and then the air, the wind yep. carries it to them, and then they yep. get scared.
And so we always watch which way that wind is blowing, tells us which stand we can go to. I will not go hunt a stand if the wind is not right. I make sure the wind is in the right direction. You know, we take every precaution that we can. We wear our rubber boots so we don't leave a scent trail coming in. We still try to watch the wind to our best of our ability. We know which way the deer are coming, and it definitely makes a difference. So,
and it's pretty hard to shoot with a bow, I suppose.
Well, the bow you should be within that 30 or 40 yards. For my son, you know, we're trying within 20 yards, and we've had a lot of close encounters within 20 yards. Unfortunately, we haven't got one yet this year, but we're going to keep trying for him. So, but whereas a rifle you can, you know, well, a rifle you're going to shoot 200 or 300 yards, you know, pretty comfortably. So the range is a lot more with the rifle. So that's why we enjoy we do rifle hunt, but we definitely enjoy our bow hunting more.
It's the more challenging.
It's more challenging.
It's the challenge. Yep. Okay. So we learned scent, and then deer stands. Do you build them like a heavy in advance, so the animal is actually used to the looks, or?
It's definitely nice to get out there in advance and put your stands up. However, we, you know, even myself, we hung a stand just the other day. A friend of mine's going in it this evening and sit. We camouflage it the best we can, and but definitely the earlier you can get the stands up, the deer get used to it. It gets rid of the human odor from putting the stand up. It does make a difference.
Okay. And food? What is a food plot? I always thought it was like a bunch of food, but it's actually like planted.
Planted, yes. You can't put food out there for the deer to attract deer, but you can plant something for the deer. So you can plant a food plot, which is legal for the deer to come and eat, and that is definitely a great tool. If you can even put just a couple acres of something in to attract those deer, that way you know the deer are coming to that location. And that'll increase your odds greatly.
Like beans or corn?
Correct, yep. Or clover, anything, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And what's with those mineral stones or
yep,
blocks?
Yep, you're allowed to put mineral licks out there as well. I just use our food plots is what I like to do, or hunt the edge of a farmer's field, so.
Okay. And anything else, an insight for deer? What do you own? Like, I was going to go on like waterfall maybe, or like, do you hunt anything else? Bear?
We do a lot of bear hunting also. Bear hunting season's over now. It's usually September 1st, about middle of October. That is closed now for this year. Turkey hunting just ended yesterday for the fall turkey hunting. Duck hunting is still open. The bluebills are coming down now. We had my boy and I went out last weekend, had a great hunt. A lot of ducks around, so it's...
Where do you go? Do you go public land usually?
We went on a private pond, so it was it was definitely a lot of good time. We did fill out for my boy and I, so it was a great day.
Do you sit for duck? I like pheasant, but like yep. For duck, do you sit in shelter and in a boat, or like do you whistle blow, or how do you attract
yes,
them?
Yep. We have our decoy set up out in front. We have a permanent blind that's set up that we built years ago, and it's kind of camouflaged into the cattails now, and it's just it's been a great spot to bring the kids out duck hunting. So, and it's always a always a lot of ducks around this area, so.
And you just wait for them to arrive?
Wait for them to come in the morning, yep.
And they come?
And they come.
Really?
Yep.
And then, but when you shoot, they're all gone?
Well, they don't come all at one time, though. They come, you know, flocks of 10 or flocks of 20, and so they'll come, you know, every couple minutes there's another flock coming in and checking out your decoys.
Oh, really?
Yep.
So you have multiple chances?
Multiple chances, yep.
Okay, and the trick there is you need some decoys?
Yes.
And you need a hiding spot.
And a great hiding spot. That's the biggest thing. Make sure you're hid, because they can see your movement and definitely, you know, have your decoys out, and they'll attract to bring them by and get you that shot.
Okay. And it's a morning activity.
You can also hunt evening. I'm usually deer hunting in the evening, so I usually, if I'm going to go duck hunting, it's usually morning for myself.
Oh, okay. So evening you do the deer, and the morning you do the duck.
Yes, yep.
Okay. And turkey, is there a lot of turkey around in this area?
Yes, there's going to be a lot of turkey around, and there's actually quite a few farmers that don't care for the turkey, so if you go knock on some doors, I mean, a lot of the farmers will let you go hunt the turkeys. You know, they might like their deer a little more, but we've definitely had, you know, a lot of people welcome us to come and hunt turkeys on their property, so.
And you do that with bow or with a rifle?
Both, like shotgun or bow, shotgun, so yeah. Yep.
Okay. And do you hunt to eat? eat it, of course.
Yes, yep. Everything we hunt that we do eat, yep.
The duck and the goose and the turkey.
Yep, yep, and deer and yep.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. And pheasant. What's about the pheasant in our area here?
There's not a lot of pheasant right around here. You have to go a little more west here. But there is definitely you can hunt pheasant here. I don't do much for the pheasant hunting just because it's not right here. And like I say, I'm more about deer hunting than anything. That's my passion.
I think pheasant are so pretty.
They are. Yes. Yep. They taste great. So
I know. Yeah. I went North Dakota. I don't even know where I went, but friends took me out. Yep. I even shot some. So yeah.
Well, it's a lot of fun. You know, you don't have to be out there at the crack of dawn. You could wait for a little bit, and it's enjoyable if you like to walk. I mean, and to see the dogs work is amazing. That's
what I like.
Oh, it's absolutely enjoyable. Yep.
Yeah, that's what I like. Yeah. My dog just is a natural. I don't know how it's in the genes. They just walk left and right in front of you, he's a pointer, but no, I like that for the walk. But again, good weather. It got so cold already.
It did. It changed fast, and the wind has just been blowing.
Yeah, it's not my kind of hunt, I guess. And bear, how does that work?
Bear hunting's it's a lottery deal where you have to apply, you know, put in for the lottery to get drawn. If you hunt locally around here, it's about every 4 or 5 years in order to get drawn. There is a lot of public land you can go bait on and wait for the bear to come in.
Is bear in Ottsdale and Becker County?
Yes, yep, yep.
We have bear?
Yep, yep. Definitely, if you get north of Detroit Lakes, the population gets more. And that's a lottery north of Highway 10. If you're south of Highway 10, you can just buy a permit. I definitely enjoy the bear meat. It's definitely a very tasty meat. And a lot of people don't like bear, but if you treat it right, it's great.
Oh, are they very difficult to hunt?
Yes, I'd say it's maybe a third of the people that actually go bear hunting maybe get a bear. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing there. It's probably that scent thing is the number one thing for bear hunting. Got to make sure you don't smell, you know, because they smell better than the deer. So make sure that you take care of your odor and your scent and wear rubber boots. And that's definitely the key for bear hunting, I think.
And you mentioned baits. How do you bait them?
Yes, you're allowed to bait bear in Minnesota. So you go out and I always dig a little hole, get some logs. You put your bait underneath the logs there. And sooner or later, the bears find the logs and start eating the food. So.
Oh, they kind of dig into it?
They dig into it, yep. And the logs help to keep the other raccoons and other skunk and other things out, so that's just the bear that can move the bigger logs.
Oh, like a door or like a gate.
Correct. Yes, you're correct. Yep.
And other animals may pass by and want to get to it.
Right, because they smell food and they want it also. Yeah. Oh. So they might try to dig around and get in there too. So
interesting.
Yeah.
And you do it at night or in the morning?
You can bear hunt evening or in the morning. Evenings is when most people go out for a bear. Right before dark is when the bears usually come in. So,
I would be scared, but they are scared of you too.
They're scared of you as well, right?
Yeah, and it's the black bear.
Correct.
The small one.
Correct, yep.
And that's all we have in Minnesota.
Correct.
Huh, yeah. I know my father was visiting years ago, and we rented a cabin by Bemidji up north. That was my first encounter with lake life. And we mentioned that there's bear outside, and my dad didn't believe me. Me, he didn't believe, of course. Mm-hmm. But we had my host father, like a local, spend the evening with us, and he says, "No, sure, you know there is bear here." And you didn't see my dad outside anymore for a couple of days. In the evenings, he was just so scared of the bear, but the black bear doesn't really. He wouldn't attack unless
correct.
They have cubs or something.
Correct.
Right?
And they're still going to try to get away from you. If they say you there, they're trying to get away. Yeah.
Okay. So, interesting. What's the most exotic animal or the most difficult in our area? Is it the bear?
No, I still think a trophy whitetail is probably the most challenging animal, and I think that's probably why I still like hunting whitetail deer the best. To get yourself
a trophy, big antlers?
Right, a big mature buck. I still think is the most challenging to me, anyway.
So, how many trophy animals do we know? How many trophy animals we have around?
Oh, there's a lot of, you know, trophies, different things to different people. I've shot a lot of deer, so my opinion of a trophy buck is different than somebody else who maybe first time out and shot a buck, you know. So everybody's definition of a trophy is a little different.
Was it like 8 point? 12 points?
Well, and I don't really go by the number of points necessarily. It's a scoring system on a deer, so I go by a scoring system because, you know, you could have a buck that's only at 8 points, but it may score better than a buck with 12 points just because it's, you know, longer tines and the way it's scored.
Scored means? The way it grows?
The number of inches. They measure all the inches of antler, and then that tells you the score.
Oh.
And so I always go by the score. And so for me, you know, a trophy size, I already have a couple bucks that are, you know, a certain size. I have to get something bigger than that in order for me to consider a trophy. So.
Okay, interesting. And, circling back to their breeding, you said November 6th mm-hmm. around. Mm-hmm. And it's on purpose that we kind of have the hunting season through the biggest movement, right? Why is that?
Correct. You know, their goal is to have deer harvested to keep the numbers in check. And there's different zones, you know, every area, like the Perm Fraser area, you can shoot, you know, three deer. Down in the Vergas area where I live, you're allowed to shoot one deer just because there's more deer up this way. And then they do coincide with the rut just to make sure that the deer numbers are, you know, they want the deer harvested. They want to get the numbers in check, so.
And they, as the DNR, or
correct.
Who estimates that?
Yep, the DNR, yep.
So the DNR has a check on the whole state?
Yes, yep.
And kind of navigates population?
Correct.
And every year it's new?
Right, it's very similar from year to year, but they might adjust, you know, you might be able to take an extra deer in this area or maybe not in this other area.
And I can just buy a license, or what's with the lottery?
Well, there's different, there's some areas where you have to apply to get a doe permit to shoot a female one.
Oh.
But that's not all cases. A lot of cases you can shoot one buck or a doe, and then there's other areas where you can shoot extra does just because they want to keep those numbers down.
Oh, they want to prevent
correct.
Reproduction.
Yes.
That's why the doe, that's the female, right?
Yes, and, yep.
Okay. Interesting. And usually it's just the buck that we are after because of the...
Well, not everybody. They're definitely, like say, different people, different... I'm after that mature buck. That's, you know, I see a lot of deer every day. I want that mature buck is what I'm after. The guy, there's a lot of guys who are just coming for the weekend. They're just after the meat. You know, they don't care if it's a buck or a doe. They don't care if it's big or small. They just want a deer. That's great. You know, every person has a different opinion of what they want to shoot, and which is great. You know that. That's part of deer hunting. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So anything you can share about like owning land, or if I was, for example, I'm still dreaming of my land. It can be small. It doesn't necessarily need to be large. What are some criteria? Location, neighbors? Tell me a little bit about if I was to buy a real estate a hunting land.
You know, the nice thing is, you know, I work for JCR Land Company here, and so I get to see a lot of different properties, and I've hunted a lot of different properties, and I've hunted a lot of the public lands around this area. So, and it doesn't really matter if it's 20 acres or if it's 100 acres. You know, obviously the bigger the chunk is nice, but not everybody can afford a great big chunk. So even, you know, if it's a 20-acre chunk, what's on that 20 acres? Is there a food source on that 20 acres? Is there a reason, you know, are the deer going to be coming to that 20 acres for a reason? Is there bedding or are they passing through? And then, of course, it's always nice to know what are the neighbors doing. So a lot of times I'll go and find out what the neighbors are hunting, you know. I like to be on the same page as my neighbors a lot of times. So I'll go knock on the door, you know, how many guys are hunting over here? What are you guys hunting? What's your definition of a trophy buck? Or are you letting, you know, a certain size pass? And I think it's a great idea to be in touch with your neighbors. And I'm not afraid to share what I have on my camera with my neighbors just so they know, hey, this is a great up-and-coming buck. Let's not shoot this buck if we can help it because we want to improve the genetics around here. Most cases out in the wild, we're shooting the best of the bucks every time. You know, if we see a 10 pointer, he might only be a 2-year-old, but we're shooting him just because we're looking at the antlers. Whereas that's not the buck we should be shooting. You know, we should be shooting that smaller buck. Let that big buck, you know, pass on his genetics. Mm. And so it does make a big difference, you know. We're always.
So you're in charge of controlling the environment a little bit.
A little bit. So, yeah. And when we're out there always, you know, you and the neighbors are on the same page and you're always shooting the biggest bucks and leaving just the little bucks to breed, well, that's going to affect your gene pool later on. And I have, you know, great proof of that by raising deer. You know, I do the opposite. I always have the biggest, best bucks breeding. And so my bucks are enormous, you know, compared to what's out in the wild.
Yeah, because you have a controlled environment.
I have a controlled environment, and I pick who gets to breed and which ones has the biggest antlers, and we make sure that, you know, it's a nice mature buck. So.
Okay. So I learned that it's not necessarily about the amount of acreage. It's the location, as usual.
Yeah.
The neighbor behavior, and so what is the market like? Has there been a lot of people going into hunting land? Is there a lot of people selling right now? Tell us a little bit about the real estate market.
Absolutely. We always have people looking, especially this time of the year. I mean, we're in prime deer hunting time, and it's not too late to get your own piece of land for hunting season or the upcoming season. But there is a lot of great properties out there. There's always more properties coming to the market. We're always looking for more land because it seems like there's never enough to have on the market. So we're always looking for that right piece. And there is a lot of great pieces out there. There's a lot of, I work with another gentleman also named Mike, and we're very avid about being out there and checking cameras on these properties that we have for sale. So we have a pretty good inventory, and we know what's on those properties. We've learned quite a bit. We've talked to the neighbors, and so we know what's out there.
And what's an average acre? Like, is there such thing as an average? Is it like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, or is it really, what does it depend on?
It really varies on what is on that property. Is it swamp, or is it all hardwood, or is it what's low land, or what is it, cropland, is it open land? It's kind of depends on what is on that property. Is there income coming off? Is it half of it farmland, and you have some income coming off that property? So it does vary greatly.
Just 40 acres of hard wooded. What does that run me? And
you're probably gonna pay about $2,000 an acre for a nice chunk of hunting land. About 40 acres with nice hardwoods, not a lot of swamp on it. But a lot of people, if you're deer hunting, I like that swamp land because that's where those deer are gonna be at. That's where they're gonna go hide. So I like the piece if it's got a little bit of field or a little bit of food plot on it. You want some of that hardwood, of course, but I also like the swampy area if I'm deer hunting.
So mixed.
Mixed is mixed, I feel the best. Yep.
So they don't really hide in the trees; they hide in the swamp.
Those big bucks are gonna be down in the swamps. Yeah.
And why is that?
Well, even on my farm, if it's windy out, I have a couple sloughs, and I know that's where the deer are going, and they're going to go tuck back in those swamps. And it's year after year, different deer going to that pen. They know, they find that spot. If it's storming, I can walk that spot, and I know right where they're laying. They use the same spots year after year.
But isn't it wet? Like why not the trees? Why the trees?
No, they'll find some dry spots in the low area, grassy areas there. So
okay, yep. And the grass has
just gives them more protection.
More protection.
Yeah, where it's not wide open, so they like that protection.
Huh. So if I want to look for a piece of land, I want to look for some mixed, not habitat. What is it called? Open,
a nice variety. Yep, and depends on what you want to use it for. If you're thinking, yes, I want a piece of deer hunting land, well, that's ideal for a piece of 20 acres. If it's got all three of those things, then you're set up. That's perfect.
Bird, I guess you need prairie like.
Yeah, it depends on what you want, or if you want a duck pond on there. Depends on what you're looking for. Yep.
Yeah, interesting, and there's always things available.
Correct. There's always land out there. We have, a pretty good selection even right now. And there's always stuff coming on the market. And obviously, we're selling stuff all the time. So it's always one of those things. If you're thinking about, always call and let us know, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Keep me in mind. We have a list of people that are always, that we got this one. We'll send you over some pictures, see if it's something you're interested in looking at. So
yeah, so you have a pool of buyers.
Correct.
That is looking for something very particular.
Yes.
That you try to match.
Yep, or location. Hey, I want to be in this area, or I want to be in that area. And so,
yeah. Yeah, that's interesting to know for the sellers, for example.
Yes,
too.
Yep. Yep.
And, what was I going to ask? No, it skipped my mind. I'm sorry. I forgot. bird. I want that field, right? I mean, I'm always coming back to this bird. We have grouse here.
Yes, we have grouse, but the grouse still like the wooded areas too.
Oh.
So it's nice to have a trail or something, depends on what you want. We have a piece just outside the Frazee where there is some pheasants. There's some draws out in the middle of the field. A lot of little grassy draws in there. They're full of pheasants right now.
Oh, really? You saw pheasants?
Yeah, we saw some pheasants out there just the other day. So that's kind of fun to know they're out there. Uh, Turkeys seem like they like all sorts of environments. You see the turkeys everywhere now. So
yeah, no, I even see them around my house.
Yep.
They wander around the fields. Yeah, yep. A ton of them.
Yep.
It's interesting. Yeah, I think they find you at jcrland.com.
Yes.
It's the website, and there's information about you and Mike and Mike.
Yep.
Mike Brown and Mike Summers. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. That was interesting. I hope you have a good hunt. Anything else you want to say? Hunter safety, of course, orange or
right. Just be safe. Remember what's on the other side of that deer when you're shooting. So
yeah.
If you're if you're looking for something in particular, give us a call, and Mike and I would love to. We enjoy being out there. So even if you just want to go look at some different properties just to see what's available, let us know. We'll go for a walk with you.
Yeah, good. Well, thanks again for coming. And
thank you.
Great hunting season. Happy deer hunting, and have a good weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dirk.
Thank you. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.